Welcome to the Quiet Warrior Show, where we help top leaders find their pathway to incredible success and a lifetime of happiness. Here is your host, Tom Dutta, the Quiet Warrior.
Well, welcome to the Quiet Warrior Show. My name is Tom Dutta. I am the Quiet Warrior. I'm excited to have on the show today, Trish Porter Topmiller. Hey, Trish, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tom. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. I mean, this has been a long time coming. I know we're going to get into a story with you. I want to tell the audience that you're connecting from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm up here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the magic of the internet. So Trish, this show is all about you. Let's turn it to you. Tell us a bit about yourself.
I was on the 1988 Youth Olympic team that competed in Seoul, Korea in the high jump. And I met my husband there, Pat Porter, a two-time Olympian and eight-time national cross-country champion. And then I had two kids, Connor, who was 15, and my daughter, who is 18, who's a competitive figure skater. And then I ended up going back after 11 years. I went back to competing and competed on the master's level and broke four world records and high jumped 5.9 1/4, and which was the same as what I did in high school and better than what I did in college. And we can just start from there. I think that's probably maybe the best to know. And then the story's going to unfold because
absolutely.
There's so much more to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm delighted. I'm excited. There's so much. I've got your bio in front of me here. And first of all, congratulations on all your success. I mean, you've said some of the things that I was thinking about, the Olympic work you've done, the championships. I mean, it's inspiring to me. And that's part of why I asked you to come on the show. There is another story. And one of the things that I've learned interviewing high success people and people like business leaders, professional athletes, is somebody said to me this, that there's always that one chip on your shoulder, that one thing that drives you through your life. And what we're going to do is get into your hero's journey story. I want you to take us back. You know, you were born this innocent child and became this Olympic athlete. You know, tell us, how did that all start, and where did you take it from there?
Well, my dad really considered me his project. wanted to see how good he could make a girl, kind of athletically. So he exposed me to all sorts of things when I was young. I was the first girl in Little League baseball when I was in sixth grade and in Northern California, and I just did all sorts of sports. But I started to really excel. After baseball, I did gymnastics. But then in eighth grade, I had a teacher that told me, never become a high jumper because you'll never be any good at it.
Wow.
Because I was terrible at it. Yes. And then in high school, I ended up doing track and field, and high jump became my event. And so that was sort of the beginning, when you talk about one thing that propels you. Is then I had a really nice career in high school. I got third place at the state in California, but I didn't have any offers for scholarships, for college scholarships or anything like that. But I went on to compete at University of Oregon and did not do very well. I actually gained a lot of weight, and it's really hard to high jump when you gain a lot of weight because you're trying to take your body up over a bar.
Of course. I can't imagine. I just want to jump in there while you catch your breath. I mean, well, I'm writing notes here as you're talking. I love that. The thing that you said to me, you know, my dad wanted to make me his project, that is pretty cool. The thing about what the teacher said to you about never become this, I want you just to tell us a bit more before you move on about that. You know, here's the thing, the science of the brain, the psychology, many people have studied it like I have, and that sometimes things that go into our subconscious brain get wired in there and it rules us. We don't know it. People like you turn that around and you eradicate it. And so you said, no, heck no, I'm going to go on and I'm going to compete and I'm going to do these things. What drove you? I mean, do you remember what drove you to just kick that back and say, no, I don't believe that. I believe in myself.
Well, I have a little bit of this. If people try to tell me I can't do something, I want to puff out my chest and say, oh, yes, I can. you know, it just says in sixth grade, you can't play baseball. You're a girl. Well, why not? Why not? And so I, some, for some reason, my brain doesn't just say, soak that in and believe that. I say, no, I can do that. Can do that.
That's a true mindset of a champion. So I'm going to ask you to keep going. So here, there you are, and you're starting to compete and do some things. You talked about, you know, the body change and some setbacks, but your mindset was still seeing yourself, I believe, on that podium of success. Take us through the story from there. And then you and I have talked privately, and I've read a book recently that you wrote. We'll let you weave that into the story. But I think there's some defining moments that stopped me in my tracks in that story. That we want to hear about from you.
Okay. Well, I my dad, it was senior year in high school when I was competing. He gave me a little strip of piece of paper, and on it said, "Dream, then go after that dream with sweat and commitment." And my dad was all about sayings, and so this is what they were called Chuckisms, and this was one of his Chuckisms. And I took that piece of paper and I took that quote and I really clung to that, and I used it as a motivator throughout my life. And then in college, when I was not doing well, I had gained a lot of weight. And he actually, when I went home to visit him, he got my backpack, put a bunch of books in it, and threw it at me and said, "Here, I jump with this." Wow, that hurt. And then I ended up not competing well in college, as I said. But post-collegiately, I decided that I wanted to try to make the Olympic team. And so I started training in the heptathlon, which is 7 events in track and field. And then really I used that quote as a motivator throughout my life for many years, and then made the Olympic team post-collegiate when I was 26 years old.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Tell us that, when I give it back to you, Trish, tell us that quote again, the Chuckism, because I'm writing it down here. It may just be the title for this interview, but tell us that. But from that point in time, you continue to move forward, and then something happened in your lifeline that for most people I think would have stopped them in their tracks and had them retreat. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So the quote is called "Dream, then go after that dream with sweat and commitment."
All right.
So that's the quote I really love. And then I made the Olympic team, as I said, and I met my husband and I had my two beautiful children, and I believe what you're talking about is my daughter and I traveled to Colorado Springs for training for her figure skating. She's a U.S. national competitive figure skater. And my husband and son were with a friend in Sedona, Arizona on a boys' trip, a guy's trip there for 3 days. And so we were driving home to meet them. And it was also the Olympics were starting. And so I had lots of interviews set up and television and radio interviews set up. Which I often do during the Olympics. And on the way home, I was driving and I get a call from Channel 13 TV in Albuquerque. And I thought, oh, wow, it's going to be a really busy few days because they're calling to get an interview. And there I heard a woman who said, "Can you please confirm the death of that Pat Porter, your husband, Pat Porter, and his plane went down in Sedona, Arizona?" And Yeah, what do you do? My world kind of stopped right there. I started crying. I pulled the car over. I went in the back of my car with my daughter and we prayed. We prayed that this wasn't true, obviously, that they would be alive. But I really knew my husband was a pilot, and so he was the pilot of the plane. And it was true. Their plane had gone down at takeoff, and there were no survivors. And so that moment, my whole world changed because half my family was gone. My guys, my laughter, they were all gone. My son was 15, and he had just gotten medaled at U.S. National Fencing Championships. And so he had a bright future and a hope. And they never came back from that trip.
Wow. Hey, Trish, I'm going to ask you to pause there, catch your breath. I'm just telling you that, first of all, we're so sorry for your loss. I'm sure you've been asked to tell this story so many times. I want to take it back, though, and talk a little bit about this from the experience I had reading your book about that, because I want to support and ask others to get this book and read it. There is a book, everyone, that Trish wrote called King Here, Never Too Old, Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus. And I started reading that book, and as I read it, and I've, my wife's reading it now, I have to say, everybody, that the first third of the book was just a fun joyride. It was talking about Trish's dad and his Chuckisms, the things he would say. And it reminded me, by the way, Trish, a lot about my father-in-law, who actually was an Italian man. He passed away years ago. My wife's dad, he grew up on the mountainside in Italy herding sheep. And he had all these stories he told, and he was kind of crusty, but gave all these sayings that if we wrote memoirs, it reminds me of what I read. But there was that moment in the book, and you described it for us on the show. And I know that every time you relive that, it's painful. So we honor you. We love you for your story. That I didn't know what to do with it. I stopped in my tracks and went, oh my gosh. When I learned about Pat and then Connor in that same instance, first thing I thought about is, how do you move on from that? And so let's give it back to you, if you're okay with that. Tell us, you know, put us back in that moment, but how do you move on for that? And there's a thread of finding your faith in this as well.
Well, you know, it's so hard. You don't ever get over the loss of your husband and son. I think that at least I think most people, you don't truly get over it. It's always because there's so much a part of you. But for me, the way I got through it was I literally clung to the saying, I trust you, Lord. So I trusted God. I knew he loved me. I knew that he had a plan for me. My daughter, the first night after they passed away at like 2 a.m, we were in sleeping. And she said, Mom, I know they're in heaven. I know they're in a better place. And I know we'll see them again because they both love Jesus. And so that I clung to. I knew I would see them again. But so trusting God and knowing that he has a plan for me, knowing that he can work things out is what really got me through that, along with, of course, my friends and my family. You know, I couldn't have got through it without them either. And my daughter.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I've just written down daughter here. What's her name?
Shannon Porter.
What a beautiful name. I mean, she is a courageous young woman herself. I mean, gosh, I'll call her already a quiet warrior. When children go through things, they don't always understand it. And later in life, the impact. Here's the thing. I mean, you found your faith, and I relate to this now. If you had talked to me 10 years ago, I gave up on my faith. And this is part of something that came because I was going through turmoil in my early years in my childhood. About a year ago, I fell and cracked my head on a bathtub and got my first brain injury, a concussion, which I'm still
doing. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you. And I remember saying to myself, God made me fall that day in the tub to stop me in my life so that I could start to see clearly through the fog that evolved in my head. And it's really interesting because when you have nowhere to turn to, when things like your incredible story, we can't even measure up to it in any way. We can't feel what you feel. We just know that you're an amazing woman to move through that, and we inspired by it. But I remember when my life stopped and changed, you all of a sudden you find faith. You find God. For me, it happened through watching a religious show, a Christian religious show my wife watches every morning. And started reading the Bible, started reading books. And then, of course, Trish's book comes along, you know, King Here. And I went, oh my gosh, God put this in my path to read it. And here's the thing I want you to talk about now. We still have time here, is your dad. Your dad throughout his life sounded a lot like my father-in-law because he didn't really receive Christ in his life. But things changed for him. There's some dramatic moments in his life. Tell us about that and how he found you know, he was tied to your family and your grandkids, his grandkids. How did he actually accept that defining moment?
Well, he was a really successful, financially successful man who could have anything he wanted, but didn't. He wasn't about things. But he had all sorts of outrageous adventures. So that was when you talked about the first part of King Here. That's what I got to talk about, was really fun adventures along with his sayings. But he had he felt his financial fortress was invincible, and he had no need for God. The thing is, though, then we had the turn, the market in 2007, when it went down so bad, and he lost most all of his money then, and then he got addicted to OxyContin and oxycodone, and would sleep 21 hours a day, wouldn't get out of bed, lived in what we call the back cave, where it was just pitch black, pitch dark all the time. And then we had the loss of Connor and Pat, so his grandson and son-in-law. And then he lost his wife. So he had a whole series of losses.
Wow.
And so here you have a man who really, in some sense, had a God complex. Because one day he looked at me and said, you know, I have more money than God. And if I lost half of it, I'd still be rich. Okay, so he thought he was invincible. But the reality was, he wasn't. And so he finally got to a place where he was willing to go to church. My brothers kept asking him, and I asked him, you know, all the time, year after year, and he wouldn't go, but finally he went. So I want to encourage people, you know, keep asking people to church, keep praying for people, don't give up. My dad was 82 years old, and I thought there was no way. I thought it was impossible for him to ever meet Jesus, but with God, it's possible. And so then one day, there in the second row of church, there was, I call him an angel. His name was Michael. Yeah. And so, you know, Archangel Michael is how I look at it. And he was raising his hands in worship and moving his whole body and singing. And my dad was inexplicably drawn to him. I mean, he would call my brother in the middle of the week and say, hey, are you guys going to church this week? This on this Sunday, because I want to get there early. And my dad was never there early. And so that was just kind of the beginning where I really feel like God was kind of wooing him and causing him to want to go back to church. So I was really grateful for that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's an amazing story. And, you know, he eventually moved on. I read this in the book to be with the Lord. You know, they say that some people never find their faith or find that inner soul, part of their inner soul, before they move on. They live with regrets. So it's just a great story. Back to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And again, I thought it was impossible for him to ever meet Jesus. But so lo and behold, I ended up getting married now 3 years ago. But then it was just the year before, to a man who just had a heart for God. He's just a wonderful man who was a successful businessman, who loved the Lord and was an engineer. My dad was an engineer. So my dad could really relate to him. And my husband, James, he had lost his wife also. So he understood loss.
Yeah.
So my dad could connect with him, because my dad couldn't say, James, you don't understand. Because James could say, yes, I do understand your pain. I understand what it's like to lose a wife. And so one day I had been telling James, we were going to go out to see my dad. And I said, you know, James, you need to talk to my dad. I think you're the one who needs to talk to my dad about Jesus. And so he said, well, okay, we'll pray about it. And we had lots of people praying for us when we were going out to California to see him. And so James got up one morning and decided to do his Bible study there in my dad's kitchen. And now, you never knew if my dad was going to wake up, right? Sometimes my dad didn't get out of bed till 1 a.m.
And this
is, you know, eight in the morning. But my dad actually got out of bed and came into the kitchen. And so James started talking to him and asked him, you know, if he's ever studied the Bible, and then just started telling him what the Bible meant to him and how much it's helped him through his life. And then he asked even more questions about my dad's wife and how he was doing. And so eventually that day, after a couple hours of conversation, which my dad never talked for very long, so for my dad to talk with someone for a few hours was a big deal, he ended up praying with James to receive Jesus. So that was just the most amazing. I was so excited for that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you for sharing that part of the story. When people read the book, they'll find more of the details around your dad's life. I mean, your dad was on top, and he had hard fall in his life with many of the circumstances that, you know, many of us have parallels in our lifelines. And I remember reading in the book that, I can't remember exactly how it was said, but that moment where he asked for and received the actual Bible, and started, you know, changing his life, really changing his belief. And, you know, I wrote this down here that, and this is from me to you, that greatness is within you. I mean, you came into the world and you have this thing in you that, you know, keeps you moving forward. I call it resilience. And then God works in your life to inspire you to help others be the same. Your new husband comes along, we honor him, And they say, and my wife and I talk about this all the time, that, you know, our faith brings people into our lives, people we need at that moment in time. So, you know, your father needed God in his life. You needed this new person in your life to show you the power of that and connect to your dad. It's just such a beautiful story. It's almost one that I would say I would watch if it was made into a movie.
I know, I would love that. I think it'd make a great movie.
Yeah. So while we have a little bit of time left here, I just want to say a couple things to you and then have you leave us with your last word and tell us where we can get a hold of your book and you. So the first thing I want to say is some words. I'm going to honor you with some leadership words. Now, if you're sitting with me in the studio, I write these down on my paper and they're not scripted. The first one is champion. You are a champion in all areas of your life. Two is vulnerable. It comes out of you. And everybody, just listen to the tone and the attitude of this woman, Trish. It is so positive. And I know Trish, and I know this because of my own journey, that you have your dark moments. Every day is a struggle. Oh, yeah. But as a champion, as that overweight person who had to get over the bar, as that person who was told by a teacher, you can never do that, you have this ability to be resilient. Character, you're a charactered individual. You have strength that you develop, and faith. If I was to look up that in the dictionary, I'd see your picture there. Before I give it back to you, I want to tell you something special. I just thought about this. We're going to do this. I usually don't talk about this on the show, but as many of the listeners know, by being on the Quiet Warrior radio show, most people don't always come on because they're not able to be vulnerable and share their challenges of their life, just the successes. But you've done that, and you're using that story to help the world. So we have an award that we're going to give you once we release the interview. It's called the Quiet Warrior Challenge Coin.
And cool.
Yeah, they're handcrafted and painted, minted in the USA. Sorry, Canada. And
excellent, and USA.
They come in a cherry box. But here's the thing. Not only am I going to induct you into the Quiet Warrior Tribe, of which there's about 50 people a year around the world who will carry these, we're going to induct Pat and Connor into the Quiet Warrior Tribe. So we're going to send you three awards.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That is what. Thank you. That is very special.
You're so welcome. And so now let's give it back to you while you get your Kleenex box out and tell us about.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but tell us about where to get a hold of the amazing book and anything else you want to say before you leave us.
So Super King Here is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and on audiobook. And also you can link through my website at trishportertopmiller.com. So that's www.trishportertopmiller.com, TOPMILLER. So would, yes, look forward to having you enjoy our journey of that I can take you through.
Absolutely. And we'll put that in the show narrative so people have it on demand. And Trish, it's been an absolute pleasure. And we'll have you back again, maybe to tell us how you became a champion.
I would love to do that. Thank you.
All right. Well, everybody, find this show on your favorite podcast channel. Give it a high rating to honor Trish's incredible story. And live the life that you deserve and desire. Live it with purpose and action. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Quiet Warrior Show. CREATE is a motive-based leadership development firm. www.create.ca